Morning. And a special welcome to my friend, Mozzie, that's back. He especially came back to be under the word this morning. He said he needed it, so thank you for your commitment. No, I won't say what's the truth. But I already welcomed her. I saw her on Wednesday as well with a funeral. Let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Father. As we just sang this song and brought worship to say that we open our hearts to breathe in every word that you are spoken. So, Father, we come this morning and we want to come into your presence, into that awareness, into breakthrough, into transformation. Thank you for what you're going to do in this house this morning, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I want to speak to you about, and this is one of the words that I struggled and battled the most with, so you know what's coming. Please don't be offended again. I always say this is from the Lord. I also had time to be offended, but I just had a true connection with the heart of God. And it's about the secret of hosting God's presence. Do we really know what it entails? The Hebrew word for presence is the same that it is for glory. Kavod, which means a great a measure of worth, honor, and value that results into praise. Also means weight, heaviness, and glory. Glory in Hebrew is seen as superabundant, and it's there to magnify in honor and adoration to a degree that it becomes terrifying. And do you believe this scripture about being terrified? If you read in Exodus 24:7, it's a prime example of this terrifying glory. Now the appearance of the glory of God was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of Israel. In Acts 7:32, out of the Passion Translation, says it so beautiful. I am the living God, the God of your ancestors. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, trembling in God's presence and overwhelmed with awe. You see, Moses didn't even dare to look into the eyes of God. You see, we sometimes don't even dare to come in His presence. But He wants us in His presence. You see, God showed me this week the secrets of honoring and hosting His presence. And how do we respond to His presence? That's the question this morning. Is it with a common gaze? Can you remember my last sermon in December was about being on the mountain, the secret place of His presence. Do we come with a common gaze, or is it with an uncommon level of honor? You see, sometimes when things are uncommon, it looks funny and looks strange to some people. Imagine John the Baptist when he was eating honey and grasshoppers and screaming, "He's coming." What did people think of him? But he was in the presence of God. Uncommon things happen. Our responses will determine our qualification and our level that we will experience in His presence. You see, it's for our own benefit that God hides under a veil. He's hiding Himself under the veil to not appear before us. Why does He hide His appearance? For our protection and also for our benefit. Because we cannot approach a king with casualness. We cannot. We cannot come into the room, into the room of glory with casualness and with a common glaze. You see, in this great measure of His presence, we will experience that unexpected, extraordinary, supernatural manifestations where people rise up from the dead, where a cripple starts walking. You see, manifestations will of sudden breakthrough and transformation in your life and in the life of your church will happen only when we come into His presence with an increased level of bringing honor to Him. You see, do we honor God enough? You see, God needs us to cross over from being a common religious Christian to one that's fully surrendered and engaged in His presence and pressing through. You see, God needs breakers. We need to be breakers. We need to be sound breakers in the time that we live. You see, we cannot make God's presence happen, but we can assure how we respond And if we want to respond with an elevated level of honor. You see, God doesn't want you as you. He wants everything. He wants everything. You see, sometimes in life, how many of you have experienced that there's no breakthroughs? And sometimes there's no breakthroughs while we feel. But Lord, we're under your presence. Isn't it maybe that we are responding improper to his presence? And we don't bring that higher measure of honor to what he deserves. You see, there's many examples in the Bible of people that encountered with his presence, but there was no breakthroughs. His presence with our appropriate honor. Listen, his presence with our appropriate honor to his presence is the secret recipe for breakthroughs. You see, we've sung it. Open your heart today and this morning and allow the Spirit to bring to you the revelation of that higher level of honor that you need to bring to our King. You see, in Luke 4:16, we read about Jesus that stand up in the synagogue, taking the scroll and read out of Isaiah 61. And he says, the Lord's Spirit has come to me because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers. You see, what I believe is that for the first time, and I want to say it like this, they have never encountered with the presence of God ever in any temple or synagogue before. You see, because God did not manifest for 400 years. And only now he made his appearance or announced his appearance in Luke 1:17, where he said, turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children's hearts back to the fathers. You see, Jesus was reading a proclamation of a prophecy about himself to them. And guess what did they do? And let's read there, Luke 4:20 says, and all in the synagogue were struck and amazed. And it says, many says, their eyes were stricken, their eyes were fastened on him. In verse 22, all started talking about Jesus and were amazed at the wonderful things he said. But they kept on saying, isn't he Joseph's son? Can you see that? That's what happens. Sometimes we sit in sermons as well and we hear something. And what do? But before I say, Philippians 2:12 says this as well. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the body, in the holy awe of God, which bring you trembling into his presence. You see, these men in the synagogue decided to reason with Jesus when awe struck them. In that divine moment, being in the presence of Jesus, they viewed him just as a common person. Why? Because they said, isn't he the son of Joseph? They only saw a young boy they knew all their lives long. And they responded that with that feeling from their minds and not from their hearts. And that's us as well sometimes. And what happened? Because they were feeling with their minds and not with feeling with their hearts, they missed the revelation Jesus was giving them. You see, a revelation is never, listen to this, never ever released to the mind, because the mind is our biggest enemy. But revelation is from the Spirit, by the Spirit, to the Spirit. That innermost place inside you, that only place of connection, that connection point where you receive a revelation. To receive that revelation, my brothers and sisters, we need to come into the presence of the Lord with honor. You see, revelation will be received when our innermost space cries out for that divine presence of the Lord. It is in that moment that revelation finds its pathway from our innermost to our minds. And that's when we struck with that awe thing, that amazing thing, that extraordinary thing, that uncommon thing that happens. You see, but instead of seeing the revelation with their hearts, they humanized Jesus only as Mary's son. And they missed it. All they should have done, just pardon the word, should have told their minds to shut up. Keep quiet, mind. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to my heart. You see, let your heart this morning not only open, but let it scream, open up ancient gates. And as they open, there's an ancient sound connecting with your innermost, creating, to listen to what, a vast level of innovation, of change. That's when it happens. We're always waiting on the Lord. Sunday after Sunday. And we wait for the God to pour out something new, something extraordinary onto us, something special onto us. But let's start pouring something special onto Him by honoring His presence first. You see, we can just watch. Go to, how many of you watch the Sunday schools? Go to the Sunday school, the children ministry, and go see how children worship and how they honor and how they are the first, they first engage with the fullness of their hearts to God and then everything else. You see, be like the likeness of a child, free of innovation, compromising, judging, gossiping, expectations free, even free from intellectual reasoning. You see, there's always people that will reason like that man, and they miss the moment, a divine moment of connecting with the King. You see, God wants you and me this morning to jump into the deep of His presence. And it's, we jump into the deep, but it takes us to a higher measure of honoring Him, and only by pouring out everything of you this morning on the altar before Him, to the one that deserves it, the one that died on the cross for us, Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes like those men, we are unwilling to move. Why? Because it's inconvenient for us. I can't raise my hands because it's inconvenient for me. And because of inconvenience, you're going to miss that divine moment to meet with the presence of God. You see, God says, jump and you can have as much of me as you want. And if you don't get as much of me as you want, it's not about my availability, but it's because of your want. You will experience a sudden shift in the atmosphere, in yourself, that's completely out of the norm. Then you know it's God working. That is the moment of divine presence of the Lord. And most of the time, we stop there in worship. As we get a breakthrough, as we feel the presence, we stop right there. And we wonder why we miss. Why doesn't we have breakthrough in our lives? See, listen carefully this morning. We sometimes find, and I want you to listen carefully to this, we sometimes find ourselves in the presence of Him, but not being present. Again, we sometimes find ourselves in His presence, but not being present. You see, because we are so busy, and busy stands for bound under Satan's yoke. We are so busy focusing on the past things that we can or cannot change. We reason how we could have changed this and that. We are busy reasoning on things that's going to happen and didn't even happen in the future. Is that you, me, that went me this morning? Listen, there's no grace or breakthrough for us in a busy moment. The moment His presence comes into this room, we must meet Him with a measure of a high measure of honor. And how can you do it with so much baggage that's keeping you down? You see, all difficulties you experience must stop immediately at the moment you're in the presence of your King. We can't meet our King with casualness. I want to say it again. You see, He wants us to fall in love with His presence and with eagerness. And then He promises, listen to what He says, He promises to treasure it with a high measure of kisses, releasing that extraordinary to happen in your life. We will not always understand God's ways, but you know what? Keep on bringing honor to His presence in that deepest moment of not understanding. The deepest moment is not found in reading and singing a few words from a screen in worship. You are in the wrong frequency with God. You see, His glory releases a new sign with a very unique frequency. His frequency has got its own rhythm, its own tempo. It's not in line with ours. And it's in that rhythm and tempo that He's releasing that higher measure of honor that you should bring to Him. You see, if you're not tuned into His frequency this morning, you're going to find it very uncomfortable sometimes, very difficult, sometimes even painful to connect with His presence. It's so sad, and many of us get lost. We miss out on this divine moment of being in His higher level of presence, because we fall through the cracks of our own expectations, our own issues, our own baggage. When we're not honoring His presence, we disqualify ourselves from the promises that God has reserved for us for later. God saves the best wine for last. But if you leave the wedding early, before He serves the preserved wine, the best wine. You're going to miss it. You see, in John 2, we read about the wedding in Canaan. At the wedding of Galilee, the guest who left when the wine was finished. There was many of them that left. And they missed that transformation at the end with that small group of people who endured and was willing to honor God's presence even when the wine was finished. Will He still bring honor when the wine is finished? When the entertainment is finished? When the nice things happen and God has started asking for sacrifices? He said the lesson is that we cannot casually enter into the presence of God. We must stay in that divine moment, not leaving it, and bring honor to His presence, which will then provoke others also to come into His presence. So who's the leader? Who's starting the movement? Not the one who's standing up. I'm standing. The first one who starts following me and the others must follow. That is the ones who are starting a movement for His presence. You see, example, when I hand you a big red apple and I say, this is an apple. You can see it's an apple and you desire to eat it. But in the same time, I give you a small green one that nobody wants to eat. Nobody wants it. You see, and that's sometimes us. We can't disagree that both of them are apples. The one is just in an early stage of a process of becoming mature. Remember I've said early on, instead of us worrying to get this church full, let's get the ones here to maturity. You see, otherwise we sit at the end with green apples. That's meaning nothing for the kingdom. You see, this is what happened at the outpour of the Holy Spirit. We did not receive these presents in its full maturity because we are busy. We compare ourselves with bigger churches where thousands of people come out for salvation, where people throw down the crutches and we say, wow, that's revival. And we see ourselves sometimes the small green apple. But you know, hang on here, because it is the same outpouring of the same Spirit. And you know what? You will and me will have the opportunity to years to come to say we've honored Him well when it was still small and green. We honored it when nobody wanted to eat it. Because we honored what God did well, He will position us to be stewards and distributors of what is to come. He says, that hour has come, and it's now. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's look at John 4, and let's just take a trip together, starting with the woman at the well. You know, there in verse 19 to 26, what she done, she got in a theological discussion with Jesus. And we read there from verse 20, our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Jesus was actually telling her how disappointed He is with His own people. We read from John 4:39, and it says that many of the Samaritan people in that town believed in Jesus. They believed because of what the woman had told about Him. She had told them, He told me anything I have ever done. The Samaritans went to Jesus. They begged Him to stay. So He stayed for another 2 days. And many more people became believers because of the things He said. The people said to the woman, first we believed in Jesus because of what you told us. Listen to this. And this is where the church is missing it. That she was the first greatest evangelist in the Bible. You see, but now we believe because we heard Him ourselves. We know now that He really is the one who will save the world. After the 2 days, He departed to the province of Galilee where Jesus was raised. And He went back there for a second time. And there's a revelation in this that the Samaritans was the only people that received salvation without the expression of a miracle that they've seen. The conversions came by His teaching after being provoked by a woman that had 5 husbands and was living with another one. A woman that sneaked out to the well in the heat of the day because she was so afraid and so ashamed of herself that she will be harassed by other women. Jesus encountered with this woman who did the right thing with His presence. And God wants us to do the right thing with his presence. By doing the right thing, the rest of the village experienced the presence of the Lord. She, the rest of the village, doing the right thing before Jesus, begging him to stay. You see what happened here? That this resulted in the fullness of transformation of the whole region of Samaria. And that's where Jesus later on speaking negatively about the Jewish regions and positively about Samaria. We'll see it later. This was a divine moment when one woman honored the presence of Jesus and then experiencing transformation of the whole village. Not her. I mean, it says she was immediately changed. No Bible school, no course, no pastor, nobody helping and said, this is how you should do. She was transformed immediately. Why? She trumpeted out her transformation to others. Are you prepared? Are we ashamed? Are we too proud? We should trumpet out our transformation to others so that they can open their hearts as well, saying, we honor the presence of the God of God because of what you have told me. And they become carriers like me and you of his honor and his presence. You see, we need to be carriers. We need to be hosting his presence. You see, his presence was honored by her and she was instantly reformed. But her transformation was so supernatural. It was so undeniable that everybody that heard her had to open their hearts because they know this. They knew this woman. But immediately when they heard this, they knew something was different. This was an uncommon thing. This was a supernatural thing that happened here. It was so significant that they could not ignore it. And that's what the church needs to become. We need to become so significant that people will just have to. It will be undeniable that Jesus is the truth. But people are not followers of Jesus because they do not see Jesus in us as the followers. You see, they felt their encounter with Jesus was not enough and they begged him to stay for another 2 days. Our desire should also be to stay longer in the presence of God. But in church, we're watching the watch. Hey, is Pastor Mozzie going to go over time? Is Jan going over time? I mean, the worship was a bit long this morning. You see, I'm talking here about a new measure of breakthrough. I'm talking about people's lives that's been transformed totally, turned inside out in the glory of God. Saying goodbye to comfort zones. Getting rid of our spiritual pacifiers of religion. Let us bring honor to his presence to be transformed from being a spoon-fed to a place where we beg for Jesus' presence. I want to say it again. Let's get from a place where we are spoon-fed to a place where we beg for his presence. You see, a place where we can be kissed with a new measure of his honor. Hearing these words from God saying, seek my presence. I want to father you. I want you to honor me well. You see, God wants a meeting with those even who do not understand what it is happening to them or where they find themselves. Those even who's always critical and the gossipers, I don't want to say anything about them. You know what? They normally eliminate themselves. God awaits on those whose lives are a mess. Those whose innermost is crying out, I want to transform God. I want your presence to overwhelm me. It's simple. We sang in that one song. Just start trumping these words over and over. Thank you after thank you after thank you, Lord. Honor him like children. The Bible says in the mouths of babies and sucklings, God has perfected praise. You see, the young always come with an expectation to receive more and more of him. And that's normal to them. Why do so many of us see it as abnormal? And are satisfied to say, that was a good word. That was good worship. But we stop right there by the good and not move and press in to his presence. See, little children do not allow anything to choke their wonder and desire of Jesus. But it's sometimes difficult for us to come and honor him because of all our baggage. You see, we say, it's so tough, my Lord. The petrol prices, the government. I have bills to pay. What about my business, my relationship? I've got my to-do list, Lord, that I have to work through first. You see, if you want an encounter with his presence, you must leave behind all the baggage on the outside of that door before you come in. And I tell you, if you do that more, the more you do that, one day you will walk out and you will realize that all your baggage was not waiting for you. John 4 verse 44 says, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. In 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he has done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Wow. Jesus was honored in his hometown. But why was he? He was not even expecting honor. That's what he said to the woman. You see, because most of us are like these people. We are in a place of familiarity. Because they say they know, they knew him as a child. They saw him coming back fishing. They saw him coming back with sawdust. They saw him come back from his carpeting job. The people of his hometown transformed because they have seen the miracles. It says there in the word, it says, they welcomed him having seen all that he has done. Not because they wanted to be in his presence, because of the miracles they saw. You see, the people that think, that's us sometimes, that we need, that needs the least are the ones that sometimes needs the most. And we welcome, we become familiar saying that seeing is believing. You see, we want to see and we want to feel. Haven't we come to a place of being too familiar to bring honor to God's presence? Are you a true carrier this morning of his presence? Like the woman at the well, that others would say, we believe in Jesus because of you. It is time to rise up as a church seeking the presence of the Lord at the well. Listening what the Lord says to his church. In John 4:23, he says this to the church, but the hour has come and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For my Father is seeking such people to worship him. Are you ready to impact and change the DNA of this region? Are you? To be true worshipers, bring a higher level of honor in his presence. Jesus says, the hour has come and it's now. What we do with the now in the present will qualify what was reserved for you for another day. Read it again. What we do in the now, in the present, will qualify you for what was reserved for you for another day. In other words, bringing the future promise into the now. The Lord's timing is perfect. Perfect. Leading us to our well experience so we can go out. He wants us to go out and flood this region with his presence, with his love, with his glory. So this region can be transformed. And I think this morning I just had this, I don't know if so many people maybe still felt this move was wrong and the name change was wrong. And this morning there was just an excitement in me what God is going to do with all the new things. Because you as a church made a stand to say we move away from the norm, from the religious side, from how it was to becoming the new. And you'll see what God is going to do through this church in this region. You see, this region has not yet come to a place of honoring and hosting the presence of the Lord. You are the carriers to bring that forth. You see, we do not yet understand the power that is hidden in hosting the presence of God. We need to get that revelation to understand the power that's within it. You see, the measures of his presence we carry will bring transformation even into the next generation. And that's the impact we want. We want to impact the next generation. I want to prophesy over this church that you will honor well. That your families will honor well. Say, I will honor well. When God's presence comes into this room, it brings a different sound that hits our hearts. Your response, what you do with that, it matters. But it also matters what you don't do. Your response, what you do with his presence matters. But also what you don't do with it matters. You see, the woman at the well did the right thing when the frequency of his presence hit her heart, resulting in her transformation and then transformation of the whole region. How many regions are sitting here this morning? That one person needs to go into a region and a region will be transformed. So let us seek more of his presence, saying, Lord, I don't want to wait on you picking me. I come this morning and I'm picking myself, I'm pouring myself out to you. Because it's a mutual exchange of adoration. God wants a relationship. A relationship is mutual. There's two people involved. In verse 46 to 48, Jesus told the official that asked him to heal his dying son. See, this is what happened. This official, he was very high up. He came and he said, please, come with me. Because my son is very sick and he's dying. You see, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, Jesus said. You see, sometimes those who've seen the most, who experienced the most, who are favored the most, who exposed the most of the most, are the people who require the most to get excited. You see, the church, you've received so much. We are so overweight Christians that, man, I tell you so many times, the more the religious the crowd, the more tricks and the more tricks and things the preachers and the worship must bring forth to get people excited. Jesus is asking this man, what is going to take, what is it going to take for you to believe? God is asking him, what is it going to take for you to believe this morning? But it only took one woman with a bad reputation to speak to a region in a hometown. And there was a miracle engaged. Supernaturally. God wants us to bring honor to him. First saying, I'm not yet healed, Lord, but first I'm going to honor you. My finances, my relationship is not fixed yet, Lord, but I'm first going to come and bring honor to you first. Let's not await him. Let's bring the honor first and the breakthrough will come. But we wait for the breakthrough and then we want to honor. That's not honor. That's thank you, Lord, for what you've done. That's not honoring his presence. Honor and hosting his presence is the key that opens the door to receive more and more of him. There's so many levels in the spirit that we've not seen yet. I mean, imagine what Paul has seen in the third heaven. What has he seen? The things that Moses, that Elijah seen. I'm sure you have all word of this word, and I call that word the mysteries of God. But if you look in the worldly time, it means that's a crime that was never solved. That's called a mystery. But see, the opposite is true in the kingdom of God. Mystery, it is planted, listen to this, in the heart of kings to search it out. That's what the Lord says. The Greek says mysterion means something that is hidden from a common gaze. Again, here it comes. Something that's hidden from a common gaze. See, the mysteries of God is hidden from us for our protection until our gaze stop being common. And there's a full surrender. So let us come into the place of transformation, protecting us from seeing him until we are prepared to embrace the necessary measure of his honor that he wants to pour out on this church this morning, that he wants to pour into your lives this morning. It's only you and me that's standing in his way that's blocking the outpouring this morning. We are that big branch at the side of the dam that's blocking this water to pour out. The official said to Jesus, you have to come to me with Capernaum, to Capernaum. And I believe at that moment, Jesus looked him in the eyes and said, go back home. I promise your son will live. And then as he was leaving and going down, it said then verse 52, John 4. So he asked them the hour when his son began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour, I think it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed and his household. You see, this has happened when Jesus speaks a word. Miracles happen. But we need to breathe in that word as we sang this morning. We need to grasp it. We need to believe it. We need to take it into heart. You see, the man did nothing to make this miracle happen, but he did something. He kept moving forwards to the place of promise. You see, there was a promise that Jesus gave him. So he was prepared when Jesus said, your son will, he moved forward towards the promise. We wait for the promise of the future to come to us. You see, this is what happens in his presence. Our promises get kissed by the eyes of Jesus. See, when you promise that seed comes under the eyes of Jesus, something great is happening. In verse 50, and I read it out of the Passion Translation, and I checked it with the other verses, there's nothing funny in it. It just says it's so beautiful. It says, it is beautiful. And then Jesus looked in him the eyes and said, go back now, I promise you, your son will live and not die. The man believed in his heart the words of Jesus and set off to home. You see, many of us carry a seed of promise that has not yet been kissed by the eyes of Jesus. means to kiss is to come into the presence so the seed can experience. Like when Jesus was brought to John the Baptist when he was still in the womb of his mother, when he came into connection, the seed jumped up and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Promises is a seed that will germinate in the presence of God. It germinates in the presence of God. Many of us carry that seed of promise and we wonder why there's a delay for it to grow. Lord, you've given me so many promises, but maybe your seed has not yet been exposed, listen to this, to a hot enough environment of God's presence. You see, there's an invitation into his presence that will release the seed of promise to come into fulfillment. When Jesus looked him in the eyes, Jesus changed this. He asked, Jesus, come with me to my son. But in that moment when Jesus looked him in the eye, Jesus changed his request. He didn't listen to his request. He changed the request. He says, no, I'm not coming with you. You go. Your son will be. And what is so nice, the place, Capernaum, means after the prophet Nahum, which means village of comfort. So what did Jesus do? He had drawn this official out of his village of comfort into his presence to make contact with his eyes. He drawn him. We use this word comfort so many times in preachings and teaching. But what about this, that Jesus came to be the comforter? Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? God do not want to remove us from our comfort zone. Listen to this. God wants to move us from the place of illusion of comfort. It's an illusion. It's not real. Comfort is not, it's not real. It's an illusion, and God wants to remove you this morning. You see, this man was provoked by his son's sickness to move out of his comfort into a place of the fiery eyes of Jesus Christ. God wants us to move out of this illusion and come into his presence this morning. He wants you and me to change direction as this official did and start to move towards the promises that he's there for us. How many times do we have to wait on something happening? You see, if the present comes in the room, the next appropriate thing to do is to move into the direction of that promise when the presence comes into the room. When Jesus spoke to the official, he believed and he honored Jesus for the promise, the seed, and he went into the direction of the promise. You see, Jesus did not go with him. And then Jesus returned to Galilee where he performed his first miracle. What was that? Water into wine. Jesus removed there. He went back to fulfill the promise to do something greater because it's written that he said there will be greater ones after this. So the resurrecting of the official son from near death, because I believe he was very sick, so he was near death, maybe dead, doesn't say, but he raised him, was greater miracle than turning water into wine. You see, it's important that we honor his presence the first time so that he can do and come and release something more, greater, more abundantly in our lives. But we need to honor him the first time. You see, that honor starts with availability to stay in his presence, to stay at the wedding for that best second wine. And then we'll drink of the best wine before the greater things happen. You see, when you and me comes into the present, lifting our cups of honoring to the Lord this morning, we start to drink of the beauty. We're having fellowship with the Lord this morning, releasing his resurrection power for generations to come. Remember, what he's going to give you this morning if you are opening your heart is not for you alone. It's for generations to come. There is a measure of frequency that God wants to release in this gathering this morning. All we have to do is to not take it for granted and not be too familiar with Jesus. You see, I feel the church sometimes get too familiar with Jesus. The throne of God is a seat of his authority. It represents the place from which he rules and reigns over nations. And Jesus invites us into this place of authority and victory this morning. We have to gaze into his eyes and see the Lord. We have to accept the invitation to come up higher around the throne, to behold Jesus, to see him and to believe. Once you see this, you have new hope. And once we see what God sees, then we can come into agreement with his purpose. You see, in that presence, on the mountain, remember, your position determines your vision. The higher the mountain, the smaller everything becomes, even your problems and your difficulties. Can we all stand this morning, please? Let's come into a high level of thanksgiving and honor this morning until his fire rise up inside of us this morning so that nothing else matter. Nothing else matter. And you can see his eyes. You see, your promises cannot come to pass when you find comfort in dry situations, in dry places. Lord, I'm coming this morning. And I say, I'm coming prepared, asking who's going to change today? Me, Lord. Who's going to be transformed? I say, me, Lord. Who is going to drink from the deep well of his presence today? Me, Lord. Who is going to find his beloved? Me, Lord. I come with an expectation to be a fourth runner into the outpouring of your presence, Lord. God is inviting us today to come and replant ourselves in the greenhouse of his glory, a hot enough environment where your seed can germinate and produce food for 12 months of the year and where the leaves will never wither. God says, can you feel the shift I'm releasing in this place this morning? A stirring causing all seeds to start vibrating. We want to keep our hearts stirred up this morning, Lord. So many prophetic words have been spoken of us over us in the past that we even forgot about it. But it will suddenly sprout up in your presence, Lord. Bring your promise into the heat of my glory, the Lord says. I coded all seeds to germinate when exposed to the heat of my glory, when you bring an elevated level of honor to my presence. Let's come this morning and say this to the Lord. I want to start celebrating for the seed on my inside to spring up in its perfect environment. God says this is a big deal, that all your sins, all your shortcomings, all your failures could not disqualify you from my presence. God is giving you another chance this morning to give honor to his presence. Come on, let's start honoring God from the deepest place of our hearts this morning. Be thankful to him for not taking his focus of you when you slide away and lost focus of him. Thank the Lord this morning. When I was distracted, Lord, you did not become distracted of me. Lord, I want your glory to chase away this casualness and familiarity inside of me. Thank you that I am the beloved of the Father, that I am the righteous, made righteous in Jesus Christ. And I shake off all what seems like the normal in this scene. And I come and I put on the abnormal, the uncommon. Father, stir up our hearts with fresh passion and desire to say yes, to have more of you, whatever the cost. Father, I come this morning and I pray that you will visit us and make your presence known in our lives and into our city, Lord. Lord, give us faith to believe that you can change our city, our lives of our family through prayer and through acts of love and compassion and coming into your presence, giving you honor. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Help me to cultivate your presence in my life. Lord, let this promised seed in us this morning germinate and grow. We want to honor you well. Lord, we choose to partner with your presence for transformation this morning. Lord, we want to be clean vessels, bring light into the darkness.